This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have Mike Schilt on 24 hours from now on our Friday Manager's Report at 9 p.m. tomorrow or 9 a.m. tomorrow. If they win tonight and they've got a couple of wins in a row and they're back within a game of 500, he's going to be able to go, everything's fine.
Yeah,
everything's
good.
We had a little bad stretch there, but
so
back on track.
It.
Everything's like I expect it to be.
Yeah.
They lose again and they've lost.
Down.
6 of 7 might be a little spicier. We'll see what happens tomorrow when we converse with the skipper, Mike Schilt, at 9 a.m.
It was interesting. Dennis Lynn's got a new piece that dropped in The Athletic. What's today?
Thursday. June 20th.
So yesterday, this came out. I liked what Jackson Merrill had to say. Winning that game at Citizens Bank Ballpark, he said, felt normal. And his quote was, you know, we're used to it. We want to win as much as possible. It sucks coming off a tough little stretch, but it's in the past behind us now. We're effing ballers here. We don't care. Great mentality. It really is. And that's a rookie with 70 games played in the big leagues and one that has really been phenomenal for this baseball team and certainly is becoming, you know, a massive fan favorite among the fan base. And
been a little streaky, but man, when he's on, he's locked in. He is so fun to watch at 21 years old.
He's been great. And I love that attitude. It's a tough little stretch, but it's in the past. We're effing ballers here. We don't care.
Well, I mean,
that's what Schilt always says. He always says that about these guys.
They are used to winning in just such a bizarre National League standings. The Padres have won more games than all but four teams in the National League, and they've lost more games than all but two teams in the National League. They continue to have more games played than anyone. They're like still a week ahead of some teams. But you asked me about the standings, and yeah, I mean, is there a universe where the Rockies or Marlins come back? Maybe, but that's like a 1 in 1,000 chance.
Yeah.
I think the Phillies, Dodgers, Brewers, and Braves are all pretty solidly heading toward the postseason, which leaves two spots left for nine teams. Nine teams that are all pretty much in the exact same boat as we hit the midway point of the season. They're all separated by just a game and a half. Right now, it's the Nationals and the Cardinals who are on top of the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Pirates, a half game behind, Cubs and Giants and Mets, one game behind, and Reds a game and a half behind. Over a half of a season, that's barely anything. The two teams that play the best out of those nine, the second half of the season, will likely go to the playoffs. The other seven will not.
Still, in my opinion, too early to worry about it.
It's too early to worry about
it. Said it.
Said but
it.
That's the
said the words too early.
Too early. No.
I didn't too
say
early.
It's still
to,
early. I said it's too early to worry about.
Not the Padres. The standings.
The standings.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And,
I'm worried sick about the Padres.
But it's not. It's late enough.
My hair's falling out.
That I think you can confidently say. You know, under most circumstances, two of those nine teams will make the playoffs.
Chaos. It's chaos right now.
If you want to make the playoffs, you have to play better than seven. Or six of the other teams.
Correct.
The Cardinals, the Nationals, the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Cubs, the Giants, the Mets, and the Reds.
And you feel like you can do it. Now, whether you do it is up to you, not up to me, not up to Ben, not up to Schilt. It's up to you guys to do that. Dennis also said, this is pretty sobering. The Padres already know this, at least. To finish with 84 wins, which might be enough to sneak into the postseason, and based on how things are trending, I think it will. They would have to go 46-38 over their next 84 games. That was before yesterday. So, you know.
Seven games above 500 now.
Correct. San Diego won at least 46 games in an 84-game stretch in both 21 and 22. but since the start of last season, it has repeatedly failed to achieve such consistency. Yeah, 46 and 38 potentially gets it done, potentially, though. And I look at this team, and there are days when I go, yeah, they can do it. And then there's days I go, oh, no. What you can't have happen are those five-game skids. Those are just what's murdering.
Three five-game losing streaks.
It's brutal.
They've had one four-game winning streak.
It doesn't. The math is not going to math at the end of the year if that keeps up. Got to staunch the bleeding somehow. And if it's players that you need, I'm sure A.J. Preller, and that's kind of what the basis of this article was about. How much leash is A.J. Preller going to get, you know, to go out and do what he feels needs to be done? And I think there's a part of the fan base that is like, all right, let's just keep rolling with what we've got. He's probably not going anywhere. I've accepted it. Go out and try to make this team better. And then there are people that have you know.
I mean, the argument for going for it is none of those nine teams, none of those eight other teams that I mentioned, are exactly world beaters right now.
But the argument
they're
for
all
going,
highly mediocre.
The argument for going forward is always the same. Trying to win. That's it. The argument for going forward is we're trying to win baseball games. We're going to do what we have to do to win baseball games this year. I don't know after 10 years, you know, at the helm, I don't know that he's ever going to say, I think I'll be, yeah, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to be a little conservative now and try not to win games.
I mean, he's been the seller before in, you know, the early seasons of his general managerial
that
tenure.
That was a long time ago. A long time ago. The current trend of the San Diego Padres and A.J. Preller.
The team with the top half payroll has always been buyers.
Correct. Yeah, so I just, you know, I hate to say grin and bear it, but I think there are people like, good, I can't wait to see what he's cooking up. I mean, it's, you know, you're going to have different perspectives throughout. That's what makes being a fan great. You can have your own perspective. Mine goes from day to day. Day to day, this team makes me go, buy it, sell it, buy it, sell it, buy it, sell it. I don't know how to feel. And I've felt that way for two straight years, like maybe two and a half.
All right, we'll have a ton of Padres talk coming up on our commercial-free roundtable presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza at 10 o'clock. Right now, though, Paulie's got some other headlines for us in the Roundtable Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundtable Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Roundtable Report with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right. Good morning, my friends.
Good morning.
Saw a clip going around. I think, was this yesterday, that Tom Brady made an appearance on The Herd with Colin Cowherd, who, not a fan. I don't think any of us are much of a fan of Colin Cowherd, but he does get good guests.
Speak for yourself.
Oh.
Really? I don't hate Colin Cowherd.
I don't hate him.
I do not.
I only hate him talking baseball, honestly.
But
terrible.
I find his takes to usually be
semi-reasonable.
Pretty spot on. Yeah.
I don't take his gambling advice.
100%.
They always show those clips, like awful announcing will be like, here's Colin's six locks of the NFL week. 0-6.
0-6.
Every single time. Anyways, I digress. Tom Brady was on the show yesterday, and now Tom Brady getting ready to call NFL games for Fox Sports this upcoming season. Finally, he's had that contract in waiting for like 3 years now, and he got a little practice with, what was it, the UFL
championship
over the weekend.
What a great game that was, too.
Oh, I loved it.
Did
you see that?
It was awesome.
Unbelievable. When the team
beat that other
team.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then Tom Brady was calling it?
Yeah.
No, cool. That was really...
I love the UFL.
Really great.
I need more football.
The NFL season isn't a big enough beating.
Yeah.
Have you seen the second half when the one team scored?
Yeah.
It was great.
It's good.
So here's a little bit of Tom Brady talking about kind of his mentality and his technique going into his broadcasting career. I want you guys to hear it, and I want to hear your thoughts on if you think Tom Brady's going to be good in the booth, because we've seen the former player step into the booth, and it's not great.
Not always great.
When you watch the tapes, do you notice a difference with you?
Yeah, I would say yes, and I also think there's still so much more room for improvement, and I just... it's
almost like when I was a player, I never felt like I did things the right way. There were games where I'd go in afterward and think, God, I'm the worst quarterback in the NFL. Like, why would they even want me to play quarterback for this team? And I'm sure I'm going to feel that way here at Fox, where I finish a game and I go, God, I didn't even give them what they wanted. And it's a very challenging thing in your own mind. I've asked a few people, like, how do you know that you did a good job? And I think for me, so much of this is going to come down to the preparation. And did I feel like I was prepared? Did I feel like our crew was prepared? Did I give them the best over the course of the week so that we could give ourselves the best opportunity to be successful for the fans? Because really, the game is the show. We're there to add our take on it and our analysis. But it's also, did we feel like we added to the broadcast? And from my standpoint, I'm going to work as hard as I can in the process of it, as you talked about earlier, to make sure that I do deliver, because I don't want to let anyone down. I don't want to let the people at Foxer down, and I certainly don't want to let the great NFL fans down either.
He's doing it wrong. He's doing this
wrong. He's doing it wrong.
Really?
Yeah. He's doing it wrong.
Well, he's spot on that when you're in a job like this, you tend to remember the bad moments over the good ones. I wish I had said this instead of that. I could have done better in this segment.
What he's going through right now is called imposter syndrome. I live it every day, and it's not easy to deal with, and you feel it some days. I'll go months without feeling it. When it hits me, it hurts, and it sucks, and it's painful. Then I always try to remember, be yourself, have energy. That's the only two pieces of advice I need to give Tom Brady.
To give you credit, you jumped in to sports radio really fully with us.
Yeah.
When this show started 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And you, that imposter syndrome, you had that for six months.
Still have
it. But you really had it for those first 6 months. I remember you saying I'd get in a fight with my wife. She's dealing with the baby. And I'm like, I got to watch this Cleveland Cavaliers game because I'm a sports guy now. And we're talking about sports. And then when you decided, nah, I'm going to be myself, I'm going to be authentic, that's when this show really hit its stride.
It is the worst feeling, and I've had it in other jobs too, you know, sales and whatever. You run through it. When you're on a good run and things are going well, you don't feel it, right? But what Tom Brady, the preparation thing is what worries me about Tom Brady. And I know he was a quarterback that prepared a lot. You can absolutely over-prepare for this. Absolutely. You can under-prepare, certainly. We are all guilty of that today, I would say. But you can absolutely over-prepare. No one wants to hear Tom Brady talking about anything other than what it means to be Tom Brady. And what did that quarterback see there, Tom? I don't know. And the guy next to you doesn't know. He's never lived it with two defensive ends coming at him wanting to kill him. What does that feel like? Like, that's what we want to know. Tony Romo was really good when he first started because he was just himself. I feel like they tried to change him. I feel like they tried to pull him back a little bit. But when he started, we were all like, bro, he's calling the plays. This is fantastic. Like, I've never heard anything like this. This is amazing. Why did you change? Be yourself. Be the 7-time Super Bowl winner, Tom Brady. No one else can say that, man. Yeah. You are an elite, elite quarterback. That's what I want. I don't want to hear him talking about the technique of the cornerback and what he needs. No, you can over-prepare.
Even if you are prepared for that,
correct,
that's not really your wheelhouse to add to the broadcast.
Be yourself. Be yourself.
Will say, I had the same imposter syndrome when I first started in television, because I didn't come up like everybody else that I knew in television and work in the little small markets and then work in a bigger market and then a bigger market. I just started working from radio to TV right here in San Diego, and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I looked at other people who did, and I constantly felt like I don't belong here yet, at least. I'm not there yet, but here I am having to do this job every day.
And look at you now. You won't even let anybody write any roundtable questions. Yeah, because yours are the best.
You know, I don't feel like an imposter anymore.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine as long as he doesn't try too hard to be an analyst and is just Tom Brady. Just be Tom Brady.
All right, next story up here. I saw that the former voice of the Angels, Victor Rojas, former broadcaster, he went on a podcast recently, the Angels Win podcast, and absolutely torched the Los Angeles Angels.
Victor Rojas was the name?
Yeah, Victor Rojas. He was play-by-play for the team.
Oh, that's right.
He interviewed, actually, for their GM position a few years back. Didn't get it. And he went off on the Angels. I mean, this is a franchise that won a World Series back in 2002 and hasn't really done a thing since. And some of the highlights here, it was transcribed from the podcast. It's this vicious cycle that you continue to go at. I've said this ad nauseum, Rojas said. At some point, you have to make a decision that's different from what you've been making for the last 13 or 14 years, because the same stuff that continues to happen to the organization on and off the field are really generated from the same people. Was it hurt to wipe the whiteboard down and start anew? Something fresh. They started talking about having guys like Chuck Finley and Torrey Hunter, former players. They'd give them uniforms and put them in the dugout to more eyes and ears, try to help what's going on with the team. He said that was organizational eyewash.
Ooh, eyewash, big topic today.
He said that's false hustle stuff coming from the organization saying, hey, look, we're doing something. We're bringing back guys. Well, blank word. Why didn't you do that for the last 12, 14, 15 years? Why don't you have a fan fest? Why haven't you had an old timers thing or similar to fantasy camp where the guys, you know, fans can play with these greats instead of just sticking them in the dugout and be like, look, we're trying something. He went off on the organization.
It's hard, though, to do the whiteboard thing. Just erase it completely and start over, because there's a chance that you mess it up even worse than you had it already. Well, and now you're in the beginning stages of something that's even worse than you were before. So you keep chasing something that you feel like we're not that far away. If we just stick to our plan and stick to it, it's going to work eventually.
But they are that far away.
Is there not some of that going on with the Padres? That we're so close. If we just stick to it, if we just get this player or that player, we're right there. We play well a lot.
I think they feel that, you know, certainly.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really wants to erase the whiteboard of the San Diego Padres. They want this team to work.
Correct.
They want it to work with this team.
Correct.
In the case of the Angels, he's talking about, like, they don't even have a fan fest.
Right.
They stopped letting the announcers travel with the team for the radio broadcast.
They make a lot of bonehead
decisions.
There's
teams that try, and there's teams that don't try.
He says all those things have been there for you to do, and you've never done it. It's like, why? What's the point? How has it been working out for you? Clearly, it's not, so effing wake up and do something about it. At some point, somebody's got to wake up and clear the cobwebs.
Not trying, though, is very safe, because if you fail and you didn't even try, you can't really feel that bad. It's like, well, we weren't really even going for it anyway. The most dangerous thing to do in any job, any sport, is to try, because then when you fail, there's really nowhere else to go. Padres have been trying really hard the last 2 years. Don't have a lot to show for it.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to be.
It is.
And finally, very quickly here, an attorney in Ohio was recently reinstated. He was suspended for a year. I don't think we've ever talked about why he was suspended.
Because he was a cat.
He's not a cat.
No. But he's an older man, 75 years old, in fact. He's been practicing law for 50 years.
Okay.
And the reason he was suspended, he's now back practicing law, but he was suspended because it came out that he would go make a doo-doo in a empty Pringles can.
That's it for me.
And then he would drive
around.
What
did he do with the can?
He would drive around and toss them into the parking lots of his opposition in court.
All right, that's something to consider. Who's our biggest threat out there?
I mean, does anyone, if you see it, did he put the lid back on or not?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
If you see a Pringles can,
that means you pick it up and eat it.
I'm not opening it. I'm throwing it away. I'll never know what was in there.
If I pulled up to the parking spot here at Odyssey tomorrow and there was a Pringles can next to me, I might give it a kick. I might pick it up and throw it in the garbage. I think that's what he's counting on, is someone in that office to say,
oh my God,
who's littering, throwing Pringles cans in our office, in our parking lot? You pick it up, you go, oh my God! All right, how'd they catch him?
But if the lid's on, Pringles cans are pretty sealed. Like,
the lid's
hermetically sealed, so you don't even know what's in there.
You can look in there.
It's opaque, though.
It is opaque.
It's an opaque top.
It is. It's not a clear top.
No.
He was pooping in the Pringles can. That's not the worst idea.
I mean, if I ever had to go camping.
Oh, he left the top.
Oh, the top off. Oh, that's gross. If you ever had to go camping, that's not like one of those places that don't have bathrooms. Pringles can's not the worst.
You just go in the woods and cover it up.
No, you have to carry it out.
Do you?
Yeah. You can't just leave it in the woods.
No.
You got to pack out. You got to pack everything out.
Really?
Like if you're in a national park or something.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
They have bathrooms
He would do his thing.
Sometimes they don't.
He would do his thing into a can, and then he would drive about 20 minutes from his home to parking lots of victim advocacy centers who were representing the people that he was going up against in court.
Oh, my God.
And then says here that, yeah, surveillance video showed him slowly driving past the parking lot at least twice before he threw the Pringles can.
What is a Pringles can?
Did I say Pringles?
Yes.
Pringles can.
KG says, what if you took 60% of the Pringles out, pooped, and then put a few on top?
Genius. Now that's... Yeah, East County Chris says, poop is biodegradable. Yeah, the animals in there don't carry it out.
I think you're supposed... What, like toilet paper and stuff you need to take out with you.
Bob, did I say I was using toilet paper?
You better be using
leaves.
Toilet paper. Leaves.
I mean, this sounds like poison ivy. This sounds like an awful prank 20-year-old Paul might have done, maybe.
No chance.
But not 74-year-old attorney.
The guy wants to win, okay? He really wants to win.
Did it have any effect on the cases at all?
I doubt it.
Did it demoralize the opponent so much?
He really
20-year-old Paul would not have done that. No. That's disgusting.
I don't know. I'm fascinated by this guy.
You would not use leaves.
Sure, I would
no,
have to.
Leaves.
I used my golf towel in Kansas.
Yes, you did. Still, that's better than leaves.
That's true.
We've got some Doobie Brothers tickets to give away. We can do that in our next segment if you're listening for the sounder to win. And then the Milwaukee Brewers in town tonight at a homestand opener for the Padres. We'll talk about it all coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you're listening, Alex just won the Doobie Brothers tickets during the break. You can still get your own Doobie Brothers seats for their show at North Island Credit Union Amphitheater on June 25th. Limited tickets remain at Ticketmaster.com. But Alex, congratulations. Way to pay attention and call in at the right moment to win those tickets to the Doobie Brothers. We've got a little bit over a half an hour left.
Yeah.
I want to spend some of it talking about Manny Machado. We'll also get into it on the round table as well. But the comments that he made, both to Kevin Acey and A.J. Cassavell to a certain extent as well, following his recent struggles, and the fact that he's admitting what we've all seen with our own eyes. He's nowhere near 100% Manny, and almost certainly the biggest contributing factor is the elbow surgery, which he hasn't come back from 100%. Even if he's starting to feel better, he can't get his old swing back yet. It's not, what does he call it? He's not getting into
slot.
His slot to, you know, mangle those pitches over the middle that usually he mangles so well.
It's got to be an
just
awful,
not doing it.
It's got to be an awful feeling. Just an awful feeling to, like, know that you're so good at something and you just can't quite get there and you're just a tick away, maybe.
It's the question that we're going to be discussing, and you can give me a little preview here. Manny says, you know, I'm better at 70% than other guys at 100%. But how do you make that evaluation? I mean, you can't...
In your mind?
He can't break out if he's not playing. If he's not on the field, he can't break out. But at some point, do you have to say, Manny, take a couple of weeks off.
Right.
Put you on the IL. Let's come back strong for the final 3 months of the season. But I think you need a break at some point. And he may still be right. He may be better than calling up, although Eggy Rosario's been hot at AAA lately. But is Tyler Wade really going to be the answer for 2 weeks? Or are you just robbing yourselves of 2 weeks of Manny Machado when maybe, you know, five games in, he hits a stride and gets hot, and all of a sudden, he's going. And instead, you'll never know because he's sitting, you know, on the bench on the injured list for those 2 weeks.
I have no idea. All I know is that, it's like Adam Jones said earlier, and again, you know, they came up in the same era, but all I know is that when the skipper asks you, can you go? And a player says, yes, I think you're going to pencil him in the lineup. Now, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things over and over and over, expecting different results, as you know. Manny was in that series 4-for-13, no RBI, 6.15 OPS in the series, in the series against Philly. Yeah, so I It's not terrible, but it's certainly not Manny Mo-like, and had a chance to, you know, drive in some runs and wasn't able to do it. So I think it's hard for, I think it would be hard for Mike Schilt or A.J. Preller even to say, you're going on the IL. No, I can play. Why would you
put it has to be Manny who makes that decision.
Which, he's not going to do. So you're in this.
Mentally incapable of making correct. That decision
and
himself.
It's like this stalemate. And I don't think it's like I don't think it's a bad quality to have
I
to
think
want to
Manny
show up.
Knows, though, if you could promise him that if he took 2 weeks off, he'd come
mash.
Back feeling great and mashing, he'd go, sure.
Yes.
That's what's best for the team. But it's hard for him to convince what's best for the team is him sitting down.
If you told Manny that giving him a fryer cut would get him to mash and hit 30 bombs again, he would do it. You know, he would absolutely do it. But I don't know, man. I do get the sense sometimes. But
we don't know that sitting is going to help Manny at all. It may just make him take longer to get back. He may need to play more and more to finally get where he needs to be to find that slot. I don't think he can find the slot just sitting there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is here.
I really don't. I really, really don't. I don't know what the answer is either. If you sit him, you know, you're going to have, you know, potentially, you're going to have to do a lot of mix. Donovan Solano, by the way, is 8 for his last 51 with 16 strikeouts. So I don't know that he's the answer. You're going to call up Eggy, who goes down at that point. You know, what do you do? What do you do to...
Well, if Manny's on the injured list, then you call him up.
So you call up. You can call up Eggy. And is Eggy Rosario for 10 days, 10 games, whatever?
It's just hard to understand if any of those numbers at AAA really mean anything in the kind of ballparks
sure.
they're playing in against the kind of pitching they're facing.
No, I get it. You know, the Manny discourse has gone crazy in the last few weeks, certainly. You know, I want what's best for him, and what I want to see is, I mean, what's he like defensively? Have we noticed a massive drop-off or anything there defensively? Is he getting to the balls that he usually does? You know, I haven't done the deep dive. I know what I see. I know that Manny, when they hit it to third, I feel pretty confident he's going to make the play. But I'm sure there's
more
somebody...
More so than Donovan Solano.
Correct. Or Eggy Rosario.
Yeah.
Or Tyler Wade. I really do. I feel like...
In that sense, Manny at 70% is
correct.
As good as other players
oh,
at
100%. Yeah. And defensively, sure. And somebody's going to hit me with some DRS or OAA or something that I'm not discounting.
But remember,
I just haven't
comparing
looked at
it to Donovan Solano or Eggy Rosario, the guys
correct.
That you could put in at third base.
Yeah.
You're not comparing it to previous Manny.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know that it's going to fix him taking 10 days off. I don't know that it's going to hurt him. I know it's not going to hurt him physically.
I know the narrative. If he took 2 weeks off or whatever,
and he came back
and he was hitting, no one would say, boy, wish he hadn't taken those 2 weeks off because he was mashing. They'd say, boy, that's just what he needed. What a smart thing to go away for a couple of weeks and come back.
For sure.
I just don't know that that's going to fix him at all. He may need to play to fix himself, not sit to fix himself.
For sure.
You know, hopefully that's something that coaches and Manny knows better than the rest of us are ever going to know. What is the best for Manny Machado right now?
Yeah, 100%. I don't make that decision. I may at this point as bad as it's gone. If I was in charge, Ben, I may nudge him towards the IL. If that's where, you know, if your elbow is bumming you out and it's hurting, you can't find the slot. Take 10 days. But I think there is something when you make that much money. There is, and he's always been that way, you know, of like wanting to be in the lineup always. There is something there where you do feel obligated to play, even if you're not at your best.
But ultimately, it doesn't matter. The money has already been spent. It's been
money
committed to.
Correct.
At this point, you just make the best decisions for what's good for your team now and in the future. It doesn't matter how much. If a guy's making the minimum or $35 million a year,
gotta do
make,
what's best
make
for the,
team. Best decisions
yep.
for your team. And I don't know what the best decision is. The best decision may actually be Manny just continuing to go out there every day or as often as he can. But at some point, you have to acknowledge the possibility that that's not the best decision for you right now. And getting Manny somehow healthier and going later is worth a couple of weeks off, even if it does mean you have to play a lesser player at third base for a while.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Now let's take a little time out. We'll come back. We've got a series against the Milwaukee Brewers starting tonight here on 97.3 The Fan. Take a look at some pitching matchups and what the Padres are facing in the Brew Crew when we return with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So earlier on Throwback Thursday, Paulie took us back to a couple of our moments, but we had one more Throwback Thursday item he wanted to share before we preview today's series opener against the Milwaukee Brewers. Paulie, what else do you have for us on Throwback Thursday?
Oh, my goodness. This was, let's see, get the date, tomorrow. 5 years ago tomorrow.
It's a big one.
Got to be our earliest saved clip from our time here at 97.3 The Fan. We started, I think, on June 10th of that
year. That's right.
And
happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, happy anniversary. So 11 days later, we had the legendary Ice Cube on the show.
Yes, we did.
He was talking to us about, he talked about everything, but he was there to promote the Big Three.
That was a good day.
It was a good day.
It was.
It was also a Friday. And it was a historically,
Friday also.
Historically, on Fridays, we do Ben Reed's Raps. Now, we did it at a different time, I think, this particular morning, because we had Ice Cube on the phone. And, well, I'll let the clip speak for itself.
You'll know why we do this bit every Friday. Turn this mic off. Every Friday, we do this. And I thought it would be such an honor for all of us. Can he rap for you, and then you give us your honest feedback?
Yeah, I will.
All right. Here we go. Let's get it going.
Let me just say that this is not supposed to be disrespectful, because you are an artist, as are all the great rappers. I do my best here. I'm just not very good at it.
The fact that he had to say that just shows you how white he is.
It really is bad, Cube. I'm sorry. And they've given me what is, I'm sure, one of your classics here. Break 'em. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked a breakfast with no hog. Damn. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I want to dig out. What's up? Hooked it up for later as I hit the dough. Thinking that I will live another 24. Freaking ins every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
That's great rhyming structure. It really is good stuff.
But. Cube, all right, just Ben. Quiet for a second. I want to get the honest feedback from the author of that song, Ice Cube.
Lord have mercy. You know, I've never had my lyrics butchered. Method Man. Now we got Mayonnaise Man.
One of the greatest lines.
Mayonnaise Man!
It was unbelievable.
Mayonnaise Man.
I am dead. I'm deceased. That's the best moment I've ever had in radio, right?
That was
there.
It. I don't think, of all the times I've heard that, I don't think I ever caught Cube correcting me on dough when I said do, and he goes, dough. Dough.
He goes, dough.
He's dough. He actually corrected me mid-rap.
Yeah, you can hear him on the phone.
Hooked it up for later as I hit the
dough. Thick door. Yeah, that's unbelievable. What a moment that was.
Lord have mercy.
That's my favorite part. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Proud of you. Someone wrote cringe. I was literally cringing listening to it again.
You know how we have Method Man? Now we have mayonnaise.
What
man.
A line. What a line.
Off the cuff. Yeah. Unbelievable. Off the cuff.
Bro, you got to rap to Ice Cube.
But wanted to.
It doesn't matter. You still got to do it. Not many can say
that's
that.
That's the thing. That the people who don't want it are the ones who get it.
God, he was.
It's like a legendary moment.
It was.
It's so cool.
5 years ago. Tomorrow, Benny, is when that went down. That's a cool.
Maybe we make him rap another Ice Cube song.
That was
tomorrow.
A cool moment.
It's a Friday tomorrow, too. How about that?
Why not?
Flashback Friday.
All right. Why not?
That was a cool moment for this program, for sure.
Let's check traffic, and then we'll look ahead to a little Padres baseball homestand starting tonight, next year on 97.3 The Fan. Well, I've got some potentially good news, Padres fans, because as I'm looking at the projected pitching matchups for this four-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers on ESPN, not one left-hander in the bunch for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Pat Murphy should lose his job, to be honest.
What are they
doing? If you're the GM...
Then again, they just saw the Padres beat Ranger Suarez.
That's true.
So who knows?
Padres probably salivating for a lefty after beating Ranger Suarez. That is quite an accomplishment.
I think they got one run off Ranger, though. Yeah, not exactly.
You didn't exactly take him to the woodshed.
Exactly. So tonight, Adam Mazur will make his fourth and final start for the San Diego Padres. I mean, maybe not forever, but I've got to imagine that
Yu
Darvish
is coming
back after his next turn in the rotation comes up. So he'll pitch against Bryce Wilson In a 6:40 start, we got Sammy Levitt with her 5:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show tonight. Tomorrow, Dylan Cease will try to bounce back after his rough outing, his last time out in New York. He'll go up against former Padre Colin Ray in game two of the series tomorrow night, also a 6:40 start. Saturday is a Fox Network game. On at 4:15 start, so a bit of a different start time on Saturday. Randy Vasquez against Carlos Rodriguez. And then on Sunday, it'll be the daytime 1:10 start with Michael King against Tobias Myers. Don't know anything about Tobias Myers.
Nor
but those are your pitching matchups for this series. Of course, Padres took 2-3 from the Brewers earlier this season in Milwaukee. Could have actually swept the series. That was one of those where they went into the last game with a chance for the sweep and couldn't pull it off as they got shut out 1-0 in the final game of that series in Milwaukee. But they did take the first two behind Dylan Cease and Joe Musgrove.
Who's up tonight? Who's throwing for them? Bryce Miller?
Pease.
Oh, Bryce Pease?
No, Wilson. Bryce Wilson. Bryce Pease is a quarterback.
Oh, boy, I said Bryce Miller.
Bryce Wilson. Bryce Miller's a columnist.
Right. He might be there.
He could be
pitcher,
there.
And a
he
pitcher
could.
For the Mariners.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
This is Bryce Wilson. Spells it with an S. B-R-Y-S-E. Bryce. I mean, they're all right around, like, you know, high three ERAs. Not bad. Don't know a ton about what the Padres are going to be facing, but that's why the Padres have, you know, scouting reports and videos and stuff. We don't really need to get into the weeds on exactly who they're facing, but all right-handed starters for the series for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, my God. You all right over there?
Down the wrong hole.
Down the wrong pipe?
Yeah, I took the, not wrong hole, the wrong pipe. The right hole. The wrong pipe.
That would be right.
Oh, yeah, I poured it up my nose.
Pouring water down your ear.
Oh, God, no. I am parched. Hang on.
Need a minute.
Oh, all right. Just take your time. How's that Angels batting order looking for you over there?
Angels batting order. Right hole. Wrong pipe. And I knew it right when it happened. I do apologize for that. Matt's just, I forgot how to human. I did.
Andrew Morales with a home run. Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along, excuse me, along the way. And the Angels batting order.
Yes.
Angels batting order.
Right.
Just, excuse me.
Drink of water.
Wore out the
that's what
Red
you
Sox
did.
Pitching staff.
That's that was
maybe
that.
He did get a drink of water.
No,
went down the wrong.
I told
hole.
You that was. I know exactly what that was. It's happened to me. It's peanut skin, nut skin, in his throat. Hacksaw had nut skin in his throat, and that's what happened. He has a thing of next to him. He had some. He had to come back from break, and a piece of the nut skin got caught in his throat.
That would be the worst food to have with you just on a radio show. Just nuts.
Are we back?
Unshelled. Toss the shells on the floor. Every shell. You're left with a giant
brain
pile
cramp.
Of peanut shells.
Some intern's going to come and sweep up your crap. Are you guys like me? When you go to a ball game,
you feel guilty.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Time. Like, I really like peanuts at a ball game. I do. I like peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I like it. And you never get enough peanuts in the Cracker Jacks. Never. Once.
I sometimes don't get any at all. They're like gone from the Cracker Jacks.
And here's the thing, like, I love the combo, but you can't pour all of the Cracker Jacks out, get the nuts that are filtered to the bottom, and then do it. You can't. But when, so I like to get peanuts and Cracker Jacks, mix them together, but throwing those peanut, I feel like a cretin. I'm like, when is this okay? Like, why is this okay here? I'm like, hey, here's my garbage.
It's one of those, oh, we've always done it.
I know, Pauly. I need, like, there's no way around it.
Is that
it.
A future development where there's a little garbage can at the end of every aisle and you just toss
but
your it, own stuff at the end
like
of the
game? But like a garbage can
game?
Is... What do you do with... You get a bag of peanuts and you don't want to litter, per se. Somebody's got to clean that up.
It's biodegradable, as you said earlier.
It's not, but they don't just leave it. No. Can you imagine you go to a Friday night game, everyone leaves their peanut shells?
Well, maybe you haven't, but when you... when you cover the team, you sometimes are there for an hour after the game. They get the blowers out, and
they basically blow
it all to the end of the aisle and then sweep it up and take it away and get ready for the next game. That's why it's always pristine when you arrive.
Well, it's always pristine, but here's the thing. Like, I do always feel bad taking a bag of peanuts, you know, cracking the shell and throwing it on the ground. Like, who does that?
What would you do at your home?
I don't know. I don't think I would eat peanuts at home like that. I buy the peanuts in a tin, and I eat a handful of them.
I'd probably lay out, like, a large paper towel, and then as I'm cracking them, put the shells in the paper towel, and then just wrap it up at the end.
So you're telling me you're standing, you're going to eat peanuts at home, and standing on the island in your kitchen eating.
Or sitting on a stool on the island and eating peanuts would be a good spot for it.
Sitting on a stool at the island.
With a paper towel.
I would maybe.
I mean, very people eat in-shell peanuts at home.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's really ballpark, and that's about it.
Now, this is a good point here. Drunk Padre says, what about sunflower seeds? I got no problem spitting my seeds out at a baseball game that I'm playing in. None. Zero. Why?
Remember Gumgate a few years ago? Which player was it from the Mets who was spitting his gum all over left field?
Yeah. And there was like little...
Just pieces of gum all over the field. Yeah, or was it an umpire who was doing it?
I think it was an umpire.
Might have been an umpire who was doing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Monsters.
Isn't that weird? I couldn't care less. If I'm playing ball on Sunday, I will get some seeds. I'll spit the seeds out at that high school field. I will not feel bad about
it. Tim's got a trash can for his pistachios right there. Just right into the trash can.
I eat pistachios. Got a trash can right here for the shells. Huh. You can spit out sunflower shells. You don't spit out peanut shells. That's true. But they're both shells.
But the shells are the easy thing to clean up. M. McKee says nacho cheese, like that spills. That's a real mess. Then you need the power washers.
What if you just ate half a hot dog? You don't just throw it on the ground.
You kind of do, though. I mean, you maybe wrap it back up in the paper, but you put it back in the ground, not at the game.
Yes, you do. You don't clean up yourself after the game?
No. Leave everything under the seats.
Oh, this is a roundtable topic. You're a monster.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do. They don't have trash cans right there.
You know who would do that? My six-year-old would leave everything there.
Oh, this is a topic for tomorrow.
No, this is a topic for the roundtable.
Do you clean up after yourself in
the
baseball game?
This is the first question of the roundtable.
Coming up next.
You're monstrous.
Be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So earlier on Throwback Thursday, Paulie took us back to a couple of our moments, but we had one more Throwback Thursday item he wanted to share before we preview today's series opener against the Milwaukee Brewers. Paulie, what else do you have for us on Throwback Thursday?
Oh, my goodness. This was, let's see, get the date, tomorrow. 5 years ago tomorrow.
It's a big one.
Got to be our earliest saved clip from our time here at 97.3 The Fan. We started, I think, on June 10th of that
That's
year.
That's right. And happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, happy anniversary. So 11 days later, we had the legendary Ice Cube on the show.
Yes, we did.
He was talking to us about, he talked about everything, but he was there to promote the Big Three.
That was a good day.
It was a good day.
It was.
It was also a Friday. And it was a historically,
Friday also.
Historically, on Fridays, we do Ben Reed's Raps. Now, we did it at a different time, I think, this particular morning, because we had Ice Cube on the phone. And, well, I'll let the clip speak for itself.
You'll know why we do this bit every Friday. Turn this mic off. Every Friday, we do this. And I thought it would be such an honor for all of us. Can he rap for you, and then you give us your honest feedback?
Yeah, I will.
All right. Here we go. Let's get it going.
Let me just say that this is not supposed to be disrespectful because you are an artist, as are all the great rappers. I do my best here. I'm just not very good at it.
The fact that he had to say that just shows you how white he is.
It really is bad, Cube. I'm sorry. And they've given me what is, I'm sure, one of your classics here.
Oh, my God.
Break 'em! Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no smog. And mama cooked a breakfast with no hog. Damn. I got my grub on, but didn't pig out. Finally got a call from a girl I want to dig out. What's up? Hooked it up for later as I hit the
dough.
Thinking that I will live another 24. freaking every way like MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It's,
that's great rhyming structure. It really is good stuff.
But. Cube, all right, just Ben, quiet for a second. I want to get the honest feedback from the author of that song, Ice Cube.
Lord have mercy. You know, I've never had my lyrics butchered. Method Man. Now we got Mayonnaise Man.
It's one of the greatest lines.
Mayonnaise Man!
It was unbelievable.
Mayonnaise Man.
I am dead. I'm deceased. It was That's the best moment I've ever had in radio, right?
That was
there.
It.
I don't think of all the times I've heard that, I don't think I ever caught Cube correcting me on do when I said do and he goes do.
He goes do.
He's do. He actually corrected me mid rap.
Yeah, you can hear him on the phone.
Hooked it up for later as I hit the
Dough. Thick door. Yeah, that's unbelievable. What a moment that was.
Lord have mercy.
That's my favorite part. Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Proud of you. Someone wrote cringe. I was literally cringing listening to it again.
You know how we have Method Man? Now we have mayonnaise.
What a line. What a line.
Off the cuff. Yeah. Off the cuff.
Bro, you got to rap to Ice Cube.
But I never wanted to.
It doesn't matter. You still got to do it. Not many can say
that's
that.
That's the thing. That the people who don't want it are the ones who get it.
God, he was.
It's like a legendary moment.
It was.
It's so cool.
5 years ago. Tomorrow, Benny, is when that went down. That's a cool.
Maybe we make him rap another Ice Cube song.
That was a cool
it's
moment.
It's a Friday tomorrow, too. How about that?
Why not?
Flashback Friday.
All right. Why not?
That was a cool moment for this program, for sure.
All right, let's check traffic, and then we'll look ahead to a little Padres baseball homestand starting tonight, next year on 97.3 The Fan. Well, I've got some potentially good news, Padres fans, because as I'm looking at the projected pitching matchups for this four-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers on ESPN, not one left-hander in the bunch for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Pat Murphy should lose his job, to be honest.
What are they
doing? If you're the GM...
Then again, they just saw the Padres beat Ranger Suarez.
That's true.
So who knows?
Padres probably salivating for a lefty after beating Ranger Suarez. That is quite an accomplishment.
I think they got one run off Ranger, though. Yeah, not exactly.
You didn't exactly take him to the woodshed.
Exactly. So tonight, Adam Mazur will make his fourth and final start for the San Diego Padres. I mean, maybe not forever, but I've got to imagine that
Darvish
is coming back after his next turn in the rotation comes up. So he'll pitch against Bryce Wilson. In a 6:40 start, we got Sammy Leavitt with her 5:40 EcoWater SoCal pregame show tonight. Tomorrow, Dylan Cease will try to bounce back after his rough outing, his last time out in New York. He'll go up against former Padre Colin Ray in game two of the series tomorrow night, also a 6:40 start. Saturday is a Fox Network game. On at 4:15 start, so a bit of a different start time on Saturday. Randy Vasquez against Carlos Rodriguez. And then on Sunday, it'll be the daytime 1:10 start with Michael King against Tobias Myers. Don't know anything about Tobias Myers.
Nor
but
do I.
Those are your pitching matchups for this series. Of course, Padres took 2-3 from the Brewers earlier this season in Milwaukee. Could have actually swept the series. That was one of those where they went into the last game with a chance for the sweep and couldn't pull it off as they got shut out 1-0 in the final game of that series in Milwaukee. But they did take the first two behind Dylan Cease and Joe Musgrove.
Who's up tonight? Who's throwing for them? Bryce Miller?
Pease.
Oh, Bryce Pease?
No, Wilson. Bryce Wilson. Bryce Pease is a quarterback.
Oh, boy, I said Bryce Miller.
Bryce Wilson. Bryce Miller's a columnist.
That's right.
He might be there.
He could be there.
And a pitcher for the Mariners.
Yeah, that's right. Wow.
This is Bryce Wilson. Spells it with an S. B-R-Y-S-E. Bryce. I mean, they're all right around, like, you know, high 3 ERAs. Not bad. Don't know a ton about what the Padres are going to be facing. But that's why the Padres have, you know, scouting reports and videos and stuff. We don't really need to get into the weeds on exactly who they're facing. But all right-handed starters for the series for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, my God. You all right over there?
Down the wrong hole.
Down the wrong pipe?
Yeah, I took the, not wrong hole, the wrong pipe. The right hole. The wrong pipe.
That would be right.
Yeah, I poured it up my nose.
Pouring water down your ear.
Oh,
God,
no.
I am parched.
Hang on.
I need a minute.
Oh, all right. Just take your time. How's that Angels batting order looking for you over there?
Angels batting order. Right hole, wrong pipe. And I knew it right when it happened. I do apologize for that. Matt's just, I forgot how to human. I did.
Andrew Morales with a home run. Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along, excuse me, along the way. And the Angels batting order.
Yes.
Angels batting order.
Right.
Just, excuse me.
Drink of water.
Wore out the
that's what
Red
you did.
Sox pitching staff.
That was
maybe peanut. He did get a drink of water.
No,
went down the wrong.
I told
hole.
You that was. I know exactly what that was. It's happened to me. It's peanut skin, nut skin, in his throat. Hacksaw had nut skin in his throat, and that's what happened. He has a thing of next to him. He had some. He had to come back from break, and a piece of the nut skin got caught in his throat.
That would be the worst food to have with you just on a radio show. Just nuts.
Are we back?
Unshelled. Toss the shells on the floor. Every shell. You're left with a giant
brain
pile
cramp. Some intern's going to come and sweep up your crap. Are you guys like me? When you go to a ball game,
you feel guilty.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Time. Like, I really like peanuts at a ball game. I do. I like peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I like it. And you never get enough peanuts in the Cracker Jacks. Never once.
I sometimes don't get any at all. They're like gone from the Cracker Jacks.
And here's the thing. Like, I love the combo, but you can't pour all of the Cracker Jacks out, get the nuts that are filtered to the bottom, and then do it. You can't. But what, so I like to get peanuts and Cracker Jacks, mix them together. But throwing those peanut, I feel like a cretin. I'm like, when is this okay? Like, why is this okay here? I'm like, hey, here's my garbage.
It's one of those, oh, we've always done it.
I know, Paulie. I need, like, there's no way around it.
Is that
it.
A future development where there's a little garbage can at the end of every aisle and you just toss
but
your it, own stuff at the end
like
of the
game? But, like, a garbage can
game?
Is, what do you do with, you get a bag of peanuts and you don't want to litter, per se? Somebody's got to clean that up.
It's biodegradable, as you said earlier.
It's not, but they don't just leave it. No. Can you imagine? You go to a Friday night game, everyone leaves their peanut shells.
Well, maybe you haven't, but when you cover the team, you sometimes are there for an hour after the game. They get the blowers out, and
they basically blow it
all to the end of the aisle, and then sweep it up and take it away and get ready for the next game. That's why it's always pristine when you arrive.
Well, it's always pristine, but here's the thing. Like, I do always feel bad taking a bag of peanuts, cracking the shell and throwing it on the ground. Like, who does that?
What would you do at your home?
I don't know. I don't think I would eat peanuts at home like that. I buy the peanuts in a tin and I eat a handful of them.
I'd probably lay out like a large paper towel and then as I'm cracking them, put the shells in the paper towel and then just wrap it up at the end.
So you're telling me you're standing, you're going to eat peanuts
like
at home
counter
and
or
standing
something.
On the island.
Yeah.
In your kitchen
or
eating
sitting
peanuts.
On a stool on the island and eating peanuts would be a good spot for it.
Sitting on a stool at the island.
With a paper towel.
I would maybe.
I mean, very people eat in-shell peanuts at home.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's really ballpark, and that's about it.
Now, this is a good point here. Drunk Padre says, what about sunflower seeds? I got no problem spitting my seeds out at a baseball game that I'm playing in. None. Zero. Why?
Remember Gumgate a few years ago? Which player was it from the Mets who was spitting his gum all over left field?
Yeah, and there was like little
pieces of gum all over the field.
Yeah,
or was it an umpire who was doing it?
Oh, I think it was an umpire.
Might have been an umpire who was doing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Monsters.
Isn't that weird? I couldn't care less. If I'm playing ball on Sunday, I will get some seeds. I'll spit the seeds out at that high school field. I will not feel bad about
Tim's got a trash can for his pistachios right there, just right into the trash can.
I eat pistachios, got a trash can right here for the shells. Huh. You can spit out sunflower shells. You don't spit out peanut shells. That's true. But they're both shells.
But the shells are the easy thing to clean up. M. McKee says, nacho cheese, like that's... That spills. That's a real mess.
What
then you need the power washers.
To what come if you out. Just ate half a hot dog? You don't just throw it on the ground.
Right? You kind of do, though. I mean, you maybe wrap it back up in the paper,
you
but
the
you
garbage.
Put it back in the ground, not at the game.
Yes, you do. You don't clean up yourself after the game?
No.
Oh,
I leave everything under the seat.
Oh, this is a round table topic. You're a monster.
I thought that's what you're supposed to do. They don't have trash cans right there.
You know who would do that? My 6-year-old would leave everything there.
Oh, this is a topic for tomorrow.
No, this is a topic for the round table.
Do you clean up after yourself in
the
baseball game?
This is the first question of the round table.
Coming up next.
You're monstrous.
Be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. here on 97.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.